listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kolula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Nikki Kolula. We're to jump right into this episode. We have a returning special guest, a very prolific songwriter indeed, all the way from Chile, and he's also one of my songwriting students from back in the day. This is Mauricio Ibanez. How are you, Mauricio?
Hello, my friend. I'm doing good. Thank you. How are you?
Well groomed and shaved, and you feel like I feel like you got ready for the show. I love it.
Well, I'm ready to get my ass kicked with English, you know. Yeah, I never use this language when I'm in my country, you know. I mean, in Chile, everyone speaks Spanish, so it's kind of difficult.
Yeah. Well, your English is very good, so I know.
Thank you, man.
But it's kind of funny. You probably don't think in English too often because you never have to exercise it, right?
I actually forced myself to do that. Especially when I'm alone here in my studio, when I'm mixing and producing shit, it's like, oh well, this EQ is kind of off. I'm gonna do a low cut on 80 hertz and blah blah blah. You know, it's like I do that kind of stuff to get my brain going with the language. You know, because if I don't do it, I don't have anyone else to talk to. You know, I mean, it's kind of hard. Yeah.
Well, I know you're always making songs and records, and you're always. Yeah. From influences, I want to ask you first, what are you listening to right now? What are the records or artists that you're consumed by that you're like, man?
Oh, wow. Well, yeah, that's an interesting question. Recently, I went to see the Michael Jackson movie. It was awesome.
Awesome.
Who was his nephew or something?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
It was Jermaine's son.
Yeah. It's amazing, man. Amazing stuff. Like I went to watch this thing on IMAX. How do you say it?
IMAX.
IMAX, yeah. And I loved it. You know, I remember being a fan of Michael Jackson when I was a kid. You know, but then rock and metal took over, and I completely forgot about it. And then I was like, man, this stuff was killer, man. Human Nature and Bad and Smooth Criminal, all of that stuff, so amazing.
He was the biggest. Yeah. When I was growing up, he was the biggest artist. There was nobody that even came close. I mean, I'm an old guy, Kevin, but I remember watching him do the moonwalk live on TV. Like,
really?
I watching it with my mom and my brother. I'll never forget it. And
that's awesome.
Crazy. I didn't realize where he did it for the longest time. And then I actually did a performance at the Pasadena Civic Auditorium. And I just remember feeling this stage has great energy. I don't know what it is about it. And years later, when I was looking up, where did he do this performance? It was at the Pasadena Civic Auditorium. So, you know, it's like such an iconic venue. And he was there for the Motown 25 anniversary. And it's just really rare that he would have done anything there. But Barry Gordy asked him, he said, I really want you to be a part of this. I know you're doing all this new music. Will you come back and perform with your brothers? And he said, I'll only do it if you give me a window of music to do of my own. And he said, right. Okay. And that's when he did the moonwalk. So I remember.
Wow.
And you know what's really crazy is now I'm actually friends with a bunch of the musicians that he toured with.
Really?
Yeah, I just saw Greg Phillinganes at the Blue Note, a new jazz
club.
Wow,
man.
Which was amazing.
That's so amazing.
He's like a legend. And then.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know a couple of his background singers. You know, do you know Dorian Holly from LA College of Music?
No, not really.
So I knew him because he was a teacher there. And we've become, you know, since. And then there's another guy named Daryl Finnessy. He's been on my show before. Dorian's also been on my show. And then I have another friend.
Dorian sounds familiar. I think.
Yeah, Dorian was a vocal teacher at LA College of Music.
And Daryl
was the person who got Dorian the gig. So he told the story about how they sent an audition tape. And it was really crazy because Daryl said he was between, he was going to get a Madonna singing gig and the Michael Jackson singing gig. And he'd already done with the Jacksons. And so he performed with Michael. And so he did the Michael tours from like, I think it was from Bad all the way to the This Is It tour. So I have another friend named Greg Wright. He's a blues musician.
Uh-huh.
We did shows together. He's done a lot of stuff with me on my Sight and Sound YouTube. And he is actually, he was on the Victory tour that they showed in the movie. So like likeness is in the movie, and so is Dorian's.
Wow.
It's really crazy.
Yeah, it's amazing, man. I mean, when I saw this movie, I watched this movie, I was like so, so impressed with every single detail that went into it. And it shows that they put so much love into it, you know?
Yep. Yep.
And every little detail, that scene when he was like making a commercial for Pepsi or some shit, and he got his hair, his skull burnt or some shit.
Yeah.
Everything, man. You know, last night I was going through YouTube videos, and I was like, oh, well, yeah, I want to know how human nature was made. And then I came into, there was this video of Steve Porcaro from Toto. And I think that he was the man who created the corporation and the melody. And there's a demo that you can hear on the video. And it was like, oh, man, this is really raw, you know. But it was the magic of this producer guy. I forgot his name.
Quincy Jones.
Quincy Jones, yeah. And Michael Jackson that did the magic, you know. I mean, it's like you can have geniuses that create the music, but when it comes to the actual performance, you know, the vocal performance, Michael's voice was just so legendary, you know. It's like,
and you know what's crazy is, I don't know if you knew this, do you have a Shure SM7? Do you have that microphone?
Yeah.
That's what you
use. SM7 or SM57?
SM7. It's
I don't have that. No.
$400 mic. It's not expensive. That was
okay.
Your mic. So he used that on the Thriller album. He used that on the Bad album.
Really?
I actually have it. It's in my room, and it's not
that for the vocal performances.
Yeah, and you know what? The reason why he used it, it actually has low output. So Bruce Sweden, his engineer, wanted him to use that because he was so energetic vocally that he knew nothing would peak, and he would be able to capture everything.
You know, that's a very interesting thing that you're saying right now, because I have an Audix OM7, which is the live microphone that Steven Wilson uses, you know?
Yeah.
And this is actually a kind of a little bit more pricey microphone. It's around $300 or something like that.
Right.
And it has low output too, so you can actually pretty much eat the microphone and just shout at it, and it's not going to peak, you know?
That's what's good about it. And you know what? Really, it's amazing, because it's like when you even out the output of like a very high end mic,
it's like distorting a little bit your audio.
My audio is
On my cell phone. Your voice is distorted on my cell phone. But I'll just talk.
Maybe Sam will tell me if I'm distorting on our end. No, what I was saying is when you even out the
it's distorting really bad. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's weird. Sam says it's not distorting on our end. So it must be.
Maybe you have to close it and open it again. I'm sorry, man. I just have to do it with my
cell phone. I'm going to disconnect you. Just connect right back on, okay?
I have to.
Thank you.
Hello.
You hear me? Is that better?
Yeah, I don't know what happened.
That's all right. It's the internet sometimes. I mean, we're an international. You're in international waters, so that probably doesn't help. But it's okay. We got it back. So what we were saying, when you even out the output of both the microphone, the Shure SM7 and the high-end mics, the sound is really great, actually. So interesting. So I've got a lot of microphones, and that's one of the ones. It's just one of the staples, and it's one of the ones he used. And it's crazy. Right. You know, you think he's the biggest artist in the world, and he'd be using the most expensive microphones, and that was
You know, this is such a misconception about, among you know producers and musicians and everyone. You know, oh, it's like you, in order to make to create magic, you have to have these Neumanns and two microphones that are like fucking I don't know, like thousands of dollars or some shit like that, and it's really about the work you actually do with the gear you have at hand, you know?
Yep. And it's about learning like balances, EQs, how to use your gear.
All of that.
Because like some of my favorite records are artists doing it in their home studios. I mean,
absolutely. There was this kid that I also watched last night. There was this kid on YouTube that was had Human Nature's the stems, you know, the multi-track, and he was like dissecting it, and he was like going through every single little synthesizer part, and I was like, man, these sounds are really old school 80s stuff.
Yeah,
you know, and some of the sounds sound kind of cheap, you know, but when you put all of the stuff together, it's so incredible.
Yeah, you know? Like the effects that are put on it, responds on tape. It's all these factors, and it's like Human Nature is still one of the best songs ever written.
Absolutely,
and that recording too is just amazing. And I think they gave Quincy the tape like the night before they recorded it.
So no way.
I remember the story. Yeah, like Quincy got a tape from the guys in Toto, and like you got anything and. And they're like, yeah, we think we got something. And they made a tape of that demo and gave it to
him. It's so good, that song, man. It's incredible.
Also, like, you know, a testament to Michael making it really, like, pop. Because, you know, a lot of the things, like, I used to think Quincy Jones was the genius behind all those records. And then I heard a lot of demos that Michael did with his brothers before Quincy ever was a part of the project. And the demos, they're exceptional. They are so because
Michael was a genius in his own right too. You know, I mean, everyone knows him as the dancer performer. You know, but in the studio, I mean, I think he had perfect pitch or something, and he was able to do one takes like it was nothing.
Yeah,
you know, like it's like Steve Lukather from Toto. You know, the guitar player. It's like he's able to go through the tracks like nothing, no errors, no mistakes, no nothing, you know?
Yep.
But incredible. I
mean, that's what it takes. And it's also, you know, the years that Michael was performing and
absolutely
has everything to do with it. It's like, that's like a big part of seasoning. It's like, I think you have to, there's like two different lanes. You have to make records. You just have to make records. And you have to play out. You have to play out because part of that seasoning comes from, you're going to learn things and hear things differently when you're out. And then you don't really play out, right? You don't love.
I don't. I'm just a fucking hermit here. Just writing music nonstop, man. You know?
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, it's, you know, you write a lot of music and you're very prolific. Let's play. Yeah. What you want to play first?
Let's start with a spicy one. I think it's called King of the Fools or something like that. Yeah.
All right. Here's King of Fools by Mauricio Ibanez.
Right on.
Liar, you don't want the truth, clueless, hidden in plain sight, cruel. You don't give a damn, useless, better than the trash, jealous. Rivers cannot shine, hateful. The response of the petty, thinking a small thing's power, protecting your rest. The world has had enough of your bullshit song. still cling to your power, bombing the shit out of people with a smile while you are golfing without a care. Someone has to stop all this madness. Clean up the fools, that's just what you are. Someone has to stop all this darkness. Clean up the fools, they fall in your hand. Yeah, rapist, going for small girls, cheater, messing with the post, idiot, just talking nonsense, racist, crushing the non-white greedy, man in your pockets, fat fuck, eating your burgers, war hog, loving your missiles, con man, screwing with business. The world has had enough of your bullshit. Somehow you still cling to your power, bombing the shit out of people with a smile while you are golfing without a care. Someone has to stop all this madness. King of the fools, that's just what you are. Someone has to stop all this darkness. King of the fools, they fall in your hand. Stay awake, senile, missing a few screws, gambler, everything's a deal blamer, accusing others dirty, grabbed by the pussy old man, looking like a court godless, garbage your mind. The world has had enough of your bullshit. Somehow you still cling to your power, bombing the shit out of people with a smile while you are golfing without a. Someone has to stop all this madness. Clean up the fools, that's just what you are. Someone has to stop all this darkness. Clean up the fools, they fall in your hand. Yeah!
Right.
And so tell me what the influence was behind making that.
Oh, I think it's pretty obvious, you know. I mean, with the whole political climate
right
that is currently happening, you know, right. Everything. You know who I'm singing about on this song, pretty much, you know.
Of course. I love that you wrote about our president with how ridiculous he is, you know. Let me ask you, like, what do people in Chile think about Trump?
I'm sorry,
what do people in Chile think about Trump? Are they
he's a clown?
Yeah. I feel a couple friends in international waters and they're not huge fans of him, and it's not much we can do, but we're just waiting to kind of do their things, you know.
Yeah, it's a really interesting thing, because when I started with this, this is a song, the first song from my 15th solo album called World of Madness, you know, that I released this year on March, I think.
Wow.
And I was really into, like, reading the stuff that appeared on Facebook, you know, all the political posts by my friends, by CNN, by everyone, you know, all the news, everything. And I was so into it. You know, I was like, fuck it, I need to write a song about this, you know? And I guess I really made it angry, you know, by the, you can
hear
by the lyrics, right? But it got to the point, like lately, that I got so much of that stuff on my newsfeed, and everyone was just talking about this thing nonstop, that I got completely saturated. And I was like, I felt like I was going to barf or something, you know? So I started blocking all these pages, not really blocking the people, but just like muting the stuff, you know? I just didn't want to do anything else with it, you know? I was like fed up completely, you know? and these days I try not to get into discussions or whatever, you know, about it.
About like your mixing, you had two guitars. It sounded like they were doubles in stereo.
Yeah, typical stuff, you know, typical metal stuff when it comes to that, what you're talking about, yeah.
And you had some slapback delay on your vocals, right?
I love that thing. It's pretty old school, like Elvis or something. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, I think it's a slapback delay is like one of the coolest effects you can put on a voice.
It's pretty cool. All resource or effect, whatever. But I think I did it with the H delay by Waves, orange plugin.
Drums? Did you do the drums using like a controller?
Sometimes I do beats with my MIDI controller, but then I have to quantize everything, and it's a pain in the ass, you know. Right. And I use for this thing, I used Superior Genre 3, if I'm not mistaken, by TuneTrack. And I like to use pre-constructed groups. So I just copy-paste them on my timeline, you know?
Yeah. You never like to use real drummers?
I have to pay them.
Yes.
I do have my drums here on my instruments room, you know, my Mapex, whatever, you know, it's Meridian Birch or something, you know, kit. Sometimes I play it, but not that much really. It's just like the VSTs made everything easier for everyone, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I do both. I'll tell you, like, I'm playing with a very legendary drummer right now named Herman Matthews. And mm-hmm. Play with everybody. He's played with Tower of Power. He's played with Kenny Loggins. He's played with Richard Marx. He's played funk. He's played. So, and it's like, there's no replacing.
Absolutely. I mean, in your case, it's absolutely necessary. I mean, you're playing live, man, with all these great musicians. You're not going to have a fucking computer with a VST, right? I mean.
but I will say, like, there is a convenience, too, when you just want to get the drums done and you go a certain way. There is a factor that you cannot compete with. So I get both sides, and I love both sides. Yeah.
The thing about the Superior Drummer stuff is just it sounds so amazing, you know? Right. And you have to tweak it just very little, you know, when it comes to getting the EQ right, getting the stuff to hit hard. Or I don't know, it feels very produced, so to speak, already, you know? So it's not that I have to mess around too much with it, you know?
Well, there's also, you know, I just downloaded James Brown's drummer has some drum tracks, and I downloaded tracks, and sometimes that's cool. It's like you have a real drummer playing.
Yeah.
You're using his samples and his...
I've seen this thing on Facebook called Yurt Rock or something.
Yep, that's where it's from. Yep.
And all these great drummers that recorded loops or something that you can just drag and drop on your DAW and make magic, basically.
Yeah, I've made a lot of tracks using his drums. And it's like...
That's awesome.
Like, here's the thing, too. It's like, I think I paid $40 for it. $40.
Yeah, really cheap.
Tracks so many times, so you know, like he wins because like he's getting the samples. I mean, he's passed now, but his family's getting the sample money. But
it's awesome.
Also, you can use real drums, so there are perks to like so many different ways to kind of like
And the thing about using WAV files, well, that's the standard pretty much when you're using actual audio files on your DAW, is that you can have so many of them,
right?
on your timeline, right? On your session, right?
What do you use? So, for your... Go ahead.
What?
Oh, what were you going to say? You were going to say something.
You were going to ask me something.
I was going to ask you, what do you use for your guitar sets? You said Waves bundle. Is that what you do?
Oh, well, I have so many Waves stuff. You know, it's like I cannot, like, out of my head, the stuff that I love using is the HDLay, the CLA Epic, the Crystal or RG or something. I don't know. CLA Epic is just a reverb delay plugin of sorts. And I also love, what else I love from Waves? The CLA 76.
Yeah.
The compressor. You know?
I'll tell you though, I bought two guitar plugins and
what, which ones?
Only ones I use. I have the Waves bundle. I don't use it anymore because of these two guitar plugins. One is the Corey Wong Neural DSP.
Oh, the Corey Wong. That's the funk guy, right?
It is. His plugin is one of my favorites. And the newest one is...
No doubt about it.
John Mayer one.
The John Mayer one. I knew. Well, you have the guitar, man. Now you need the plugin, right?
Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, is like I use the Corey Wong still. Whenever I produce sessions, I use the Corey Wong all the time. I'm still like John Mayer one to see what sounds I love the most, but the sounds are phenomenal. I mean, it's
absolutely
just, that's so
the Neural DSP stuff is the best when it comes to BST stuff for guitar. There's nothing better, you know. Yeah, I think I told you that I used the Petrucci one because I'm a metalhead, you know. So
that's a great one. A great one.
Yeah,
there are so many there, but I do love when artists come out with their own way, like the samples, because it's like a fingerprint on that market, and that's kind of what it needs. Because the Waves bundle, what I also loved was the versatility of it. But what I did love was sometimes it was like too much and not enough at the same time. You know what I mean? Like I'd have so many options, and none of them would really feel like they were real enough for me. Whereas these, I'm like very, very excited about how.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting thing that you said, because these last two months, I think, I've been cleaning up my plugin mess, you know, all the stuff that I bought through the years. And I have like more than 1,000 plugins, man, you know, more than 1,000. It's fucking crazy, you know.
Yeah, I'll buy anymore or download anymore.
It's too much stuff. And when it comes down to really good software, you don't really need that much, you know. So you don't really need to go crazy and buy like thousands of dollars of things of shit. I mean, that's what I've done, but that's not what you really need, you know. Right. So I went crazy with that, and it's
so delicate because it's so much fun to have them. You know what I mean? And then time to use them. I sometimes can get lost in them where I'm like, I'll spend more time going finding sounds than just using
making music. Yeah. It's just I'm guilty of that, and I guess everyone's guilty of that. You know, I mean, the new shining toy, so to speak, you know. I think that Universal Audio presented this gift to everyone. It was like a bunch of plugins, you know. Everything was for free, and I was like, what, Universal Audio doing this? And it was like, I haven't used any of it yet because I have all this other shit that I'm actually using. So it's like, what, more plugins for what, you know? It's like
that's part of it. I love it. I always have questions, and I know you do a lot of stuff in the box, which is why I'm also asking, do you use any mixing plugins?
Like what, for example?
I mean, there's a lot. I don't even use that many because there are too many. My engineer uses a bunch. That's why I asked. Do you use
one thing that stuff that I love is, for instance, the Fab Filter stuff.
Yeah.
You know, Pro-Q 3. I think they have Pro-Q 4 now, but I used number 3. That's the one I have.
Do you ever use Melodyne, or do you ever use...
Absolutely. Melodyne is just standard procedure for me, you know?
Yeah.
When it comes to... I mean, I have the firm belief that you have to give your best vocal performance, right? And once you have that, then you go through Melodyne anyway. You know, it's just like standard procedure, man, for me at least.
So I feel like it's one of those things where it's easy to just start editing everything and then you lose them. But I think the performance, it has to just like, I feel like my favorite records that I've done are when I've done a good performance and there's just little tweaks, little tweaks.
Absolutely.
Performance is preserved.
Sometimes when I do commissions, you know, because I work sometimes for other people when not only my own music, but just people that send me their own stuff, you know, their own music and, or maybe covers or whatever shit that they want me to produce, you know.
Right.
And I have these singers that are so fucking horrible, you know. It's like horrendous, you know. It's like they cannot tell when a note is higher or lower. They have no sense of pitch whatsoever, you know. And that thing is painful to work with, you know. When it comes to do something and try to make it sound decent.
Yes, yes.
You know, it's fucking painful, man.
No, it's like you have to question, like, what am I doing this for? Is it next time? Patient,
yeah.
Exercise and technique, or is it an exercise in doing something, you know, solid for somebody? I've done it all. I feel the same thing. It's like
Like, you better pay me well, man, because I will have to endure this shit.
Yes.
Yeah. And then when you have the thing done, it's like, well, this is a lie, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I try to preserve when I produce an artist, I try to preserve, but you have to make it accessible so people will enjoy it. You know,
yeah.
it's a very soft balance. Let's play something else. What do you want to play next?
What was the other stuff that I asked? I just don't remember, man.
Hold on a second. I think we have Be With Me.
Tonight, I think.
Be With Me Tonight. Yep.
Oh, yeah, let's go with that one. Okay.
All right, here we go. Here's Be With Me Tonight by Mauricio Ibáñez.
Cool.
To the stars, I'm embracing all the love.
closer to the stars, enter twilight to lovers, naked under the moonlight. Be with me tonight, we'll get closer to the stars. I'm embracing all the love coming from your lovely heart.
All right.
Really, doing really great. Solid on the key.
Thank you.
Did you use a sample? How did you get the keys sound? I love that sound.
The key. Well, this is an interesting plugin that I used, an old one, actually. It's called Hypersonic 2 by Steinberg.
Awesome.
Which is so old that is actually, well, the format is VST. It's X86 or something like that. It's not even 64 bits. It's a really, really, really old plugin.
Crazy.
You know, it's like a Rompler or something like that. It's just this kind of synthesizer that has lots of built-in sounds, and you don't get to tweak them that much because it really doesn't have that many knobs, you know? So it's pretty much like a collection of pianos, pads, whatever, you know, all that stuff.
Yeah. Do you add the reverb, or was the reverb already attached to the sample?
I can't remember you really, you know. But right. Maybe some of the sounds of the synthesizer sounds had some sort of reverb delay on. I can't really remember, you know. This song was from the album number 12, Love Signed by a Loner, from 2024. Yeah, yeah.
It's got a Peter Gabriel vibe on the piano sound. It's really
cool. Oh, really?
Yeah, really, really cool. He's one of my favorites. That's why I was asking if you...
Oh, interesting. Yeah, yeah. What I remember from this particular song is that I used the Hypersonic 2. Actually, that is my one plugin that I don't have on, like, that I actually purchased, because there's no... It doesn't exist, you know? There's nowhere to get it, like, legally, you know?
Well, about the 80s, too. It's like they had sounds and synths that define the music, whereas now I feel like synths and sounds have changed completely. And some ways they've gotten better, but there's such vibe in those early sounds of synth that it just has this epic anthemic thing to it. That synth have the same thing, but I love synths today too. For how long?
You know, I mean, you know that I am a guitar player, but when it comes to synthesizers, I just fucking go crazy. You know, I mean, I love working with all kinds of synthesizers, old and new, you know, and there's just so much great stuff. You know, some of the stuff that I really love is the Arturia stuff, you know,
right?
The Analog Lab collection and all that. So many synthesizers, the Core collection. Everything. I mean, I had so much, you know. Yeah, like if I had that stuff like on hardware in my house, I would need a fucking mansion. You know, it's like,
There's a synthesizer museum in LA where it's a studio, and you can walk in and you book it for 2 hours. I've gone there and just kind of messed around.
Awesome.
And you can just book like the time to just experiment, and then you can connect it to a studio and record stuff and just go with it, add, but it's all analog, all analog synthesizers.
Well, that's the cool thing about it, right?
Right, right.
When everyone now, it's like the way I do things, everything in the box, right?
Right.
But having the actual machines there with you, you know, like a real Mellotron or stuff like that, you know, like the real stuff, like with wires and all this, you know, it's fucking cool.
It is awesome.
Yeah, I love it.
I could have a room like that. Like when I walked in, I was like, oh, this is the kind of room I would love to have.
Like, I could sleep there. You know, it's like I have all these synthesizers around me. I could put a a mat on the floor and just lay down, you know. I wouldn't get out of there.
The weird thing is, I feel like you can get all those digitally so easily, and even more in the room. But there's something about the hardware of, like, you know, I literally played like one of the vocoders.
That's so cool. That the sound of a vocoder. What comes to mind for me immediately would be Mr. Blue Sky or something like that, by Electric Light Orchestra.
What about Mr. Roboto by Styx?
Or yeah.
Michael Jackson uses it on PYT on some things.
Yeah.
Cool instrument.
It's so cool, man.
Yeah, it is. It is.
It's so cool.
Experimenting with synths. Tell me what the inspiration was behind the song.
This particular song is kind of dreamy in the way it was arranged, the sounds that I used, and the lyrics. You know, it's the kind of excitement you have when you're waiting to meet with your loved one, basically. You know, it's like that kind of like I don't know, like butterflies in your stomach or something. You know,
yeah.
That kind of feeling, right? And it's kind of nostalgic for me because I'm just alone these days, you know? So, yeah.
All right. That just means you just have more people to kind of sort through to find the madness, you know?
Yeah. Well, I'm the thing that worries me a little bit is that I'm getting too used to being on my own, you know? So I'm saying that in the sense that I may not be available to other people that easily, you know?
Right.
Well, because I'm just too absorbed making music all the freaking time.
That's awesome, though. And I love that you're so dedicated to it.
Thank you, man.
You know, it's like you have to balance music with being a human, too. It's like you need...
Yeah.
You have to. It's like somebody said something... Who was it? I think it was... I'm gonna totally butcher who said this. But I think it was... either Miles or Coltrane, he said that you can only be as good of a musician as you can be a human. It's like,
wow, that's powerful.
Sure. It's like, it's like your music is only going to be as good as what you're doing for others, how you're living your life, how you're kind of feeling in your, in your skin. It's all those things that contribute to like what you create, you know. And I know you're,
dude, it's distorting again. No.
That's all right. Do you want to disconnect real quick and come back? All right, we're going to disconnect Mauricio real quick and he's going to come back. Hold on 2 seconds. Here we go. All right, Mauricio, you're back.
Yeah.
What do you want to
back from the dead?
Let's play your third song. What do you want to play next?
What is it called? I think it's Just Another Day or something like that.
All right, here we go. Here's Just Another Day by Mauricio Ibanez.
Another day I'm feeling restless. No matter what I do, I feel so empty inside. The daily grind and noise are running great to me. I want to take a break from everything, everyone. Oh, the old days were so good. Forget about your fears, but it's harder than
another day, another email sent. No matter what I say, you never reply back. I really get the feeling that you don't give a damn. I want to take a break from you, I'm fed up. Oh, the old days were so good back then. I'm thinking about you right now. Oh, I still remember your laughter. Life was so easy. All these years I've been trying to forget. So lonely inside. I want this stupid thing to come to an end. I want to flush my mind from you, I feel sick.
Guzman in your name, but it's Mauricio Ibanez Guzman, right?
Yeah, it's Guzman. That's the, where you put the accent at the end.
That's right. So tell me what the inspiration was behind that song.
Well, this one, it's about a friend of mine that I loved very much, a classmate from Lama, you know? And, we wanted to get this project going, the two of us, you know, a musical project back in 2017 when I was like making my second solo album, Melancholia. And this guy started sending me ideas and sessions and stuff that he was writing. But I got so involved in my own music that he felt left aside, you know?
Right.
And that created chaos, you know? It's like, it was a mess, and it's like a clash of egos and shit, and it was very ugly, and it pretty much ghosted me. So I think that I haven't recovered from that thing to this day, you know? It's kind of painful, you know? So it's about like dreaming about this guy and having dreams about this person and not being able to come to terms with it. You know what I mean?
Well, you know what? That's where music is the catalyst for inspiration and also channeling those feelings into something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I might be this lonely guy that is always making music, but I would say that my music is very human, so to speak, you know? Like, it's about life, love, and existence, and death, and all these things, you know? So, I cannot sing about, like, dragons and fairy tales or spaceships or, you know, it's just not me, you know?
Right.
So,
You know what? That could be a good challenge for you too. Like to just write about anything, because I think it makes you stronger as a writer if you can just write about anything too. But I'm sure that you write from that human perspective and that you continue to kind of like make records and get songs out there. Where can people find you if they want to find you online?
Well, usually on my Bandcamp page, you know, as always, you know, MauricioIvanes.bandcamp.com.
And you, on that, do you not use Spotify and the other platforms, or do you use?
Well, I started recently to upload the remastered versions of my stuff to the streaming platforms, you know, Spotify and all that stuff.
Right.
Using Root Note or something like that. That's a distributing company, whatever. But it's taken a while. You know, I mean, I have a long catalog, so, you know, a big catalog, you know, so it's.
I think I have 10, and that's a lot, you know, it's like, but I mean, you're prolific. Are you working on another record right now?
Well, I'm planning releases up to 2031 right now, so it's like I have 10 or maybe 15 more albums that I've already done that I haven't released, you know?
What you should do, I heard a friend of mine told me that he releases a song a week, and that's how he gets a lot of Spotify listeners to kind of keep on, the algorithm works.
That's a great idea.
Instead of releasing all of them, just release one at a time.
It's an interesting thing, because I always think on album terms.
Right.
And this goes deeper, because when I was a kid, I didn't listen to singles, you know? Right. I didn't get this mentality of the hit songs or the singles. From early childhood, my musical world was always the albums.
Right.
You know? I would listen to something from start to finish, you know?
Yep.
And I could not, I to this day, I cannot do it any other way, you know? It's kind of funny, yeah. You know, it's
weird. Like, now I'm, like, wondering if I'm going to just release singles and put them on a record and just release the singles as they come and then have the whole record be done. Because I don't know if, like, people have the bandwidth to listen to whole records as much as they have the bandwidth to listen to a song.
You know, this goes again deeper. This is a big topic, a big subject, because people nowadays have so little patience for whatever. You know, I mean, you know, in all sorts of levels. You know, now with the fucking AI, Suno doing music like with fucking prompts or something.
Right. You know?
And it's like you take away the passion, the effort, the beauty of making art. You know?
Yeah.
And it's so miserable. It's just fucking abysmal.
I don't ever replace all the time that you put in. That, you know, that's, I have people that have never done music making music on AI. And I just the AI fatigue. You know, it's like, you're like, oh, this is cool. And then move on to the next. Because how could, if they're going to do that with real people, how could you not do that also with AI? So AI will have its moment. It'll move on. It'll make things easier, but it's not going to make necessarily music better. It can make it easier.
No, not at all. It's just going to make photocopies of music or something. You know, it's like...
There's good things about it too. It's like there are AI artists that I have followed that I thought were real people because they sounded so great.
Really?
Look, check out a guy named Nick Hussles.
Wow.
3 weeks to realize, oh my god, this is an AI artist, and he sounds like a solo artist from the 70s with really funny lyrics and really good songs, and the arrangements are incredible, the mixes are incredible, and it's all
well. Maybe that guy is an actual musician that just wants to make a more complex arrangement that he's unable to do on his own or something, maybe, you know.
But I still think there's no replacing an artist like yourself making songs at home and just churning out records. So I hope you continue to do that. Check out Mauricio Ibanez Guzman's Bandcamp page. You said Mauricio Ibanez.bandcamp. Is that your That is
bandcamp.com. Yeah, that's it. And I'm sorry that it's taking me so long to release the stuff on Spotify, but I'm doing it, you know? So that's just I'm remastering everything and getting it done, yeah, basically. Yeah.
Well, thank you for being a guest on Wake Up Hollywood. It's always a pleasure to have you back.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. Check out Mauricio's music at Bandcamp. On behalf of Sam, myself, and Mauricio, we'll see you guys next week.
Right.
Peace, love, and take care of yourselves.
Bye.
And don't listen to too many AI artists. Okay, we're out. We're out. Peace.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kourula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.